On the football field, the action happens in the blink of an eye. It's like that off the field too when you've been injured. In a split second, your life is changed. Whether on the field or in the courtroom, when you've been injured, you need the right teammates by your side. You need Chase and Boscolo, a law firm willing to protect and fight for your rights. On the football field or in the courtroom, having the right team determines whether you win or lose. When injuries change your life, call Chase and Boscolo, trial lawyers that care.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Let's ride together.
Hey guys, what's up? This is Josh Norman. And you listen to Redskins Talk with JP Finley.
What up, everybody? JP Finley here, Redskins Talk Podcast. We have a lot to talk about, not the least of which is our tailgate that's going down Sunday afternoon, or I guess morning, at FedEx Field. It's going to be a blast. We want to see all of you there. I'm going to have a lot more information about that later in the podcast. Here's what we're going to talk about. We got a little bit of conversation around Kirk Cousins, some stuff about the Redskins schedule. We're going to set our over-unders for the Vikings game. We got some really good listener feedback. Then we're going to try to do three things about Minnesota, but it's going to be interesting. We're going to talk tailgate, read a review, and that's it. All right, let's announce who's here. We are in the NBC Sports podcast studio today. I have Mitch Tischler joining me.
What up?
Have you slept at all since Seattle?
Not after that four-hour flight delay.
Yeah, man. I'm going to confess to everyone that I abandoned Mitch. I was able to switch flights. He was not. You landed at, what, 4 a.m. or something?
I got home at like 3 a.m., but it's cool. JP promises you guys a beer. He promised me a 12-pack, so I'll call it even.
I don't know if I remember that. And on the phone, we have Swaggy T, Old Money Tandler, the man, the myth, Rich Tandler. What up, Tandler?
What up?
Wow, he nailed it. All right, let's dive in. Tandler, I want to start with you. We got some grief on Twitter about not giving Kirk Cousins a game ball. And you were the one that kind of said we should have after that Seahawks game. So I want to let you state your case why we should have given him a game ball.
Well, it was because you gave one to
Josh Doctson,
and he really only made one play.
The catch was incredible, though.
It was, and to Brian, throw wasn't bad either. And the throw to Brian Quick was excellent, the one that set that up.
I agree with that.
If you're going to give those guys a game ball for, you know, being very good in a brief shining moment in the game, you should give it to Cousins too.
I'll let Mitch weigh in before I go.
I'm okay giving him a game ball. I thought that the Doctson catch was better potentially than the throw, so that's why I said Doctson for game balls.
Right. To me, Doctson only got the ball three times. I think he caught him every time, and two of those catches, not just the one incredible one at the end, where he completely laid out for the ball, held on. Really, really an incredible catch. But also the catch he made on the sideline earlier in the game, I don't even think was thrown to him. I think it was thrown to Terrell Pryor, that he had to come back to the ball, was kind of getting tackled as he got brought down. I thought Doctson played well and proved he should be getting the ball more. So I'm easily defending my Doctson selection. But here's what I'll say. I think if you want to give Kirk one, that's fair. I've been saying, you know, for a few weeks now, that with this banged up offensive line and losing players all over the field, Kirk's got to go out and win the Redskins a game. And you know what? Sunday afternoon, he went out and he won the Redskins a game. So for folks that want Kirk to have a game ball, I'm cool with it. That's okay by me.
I'm not arguing that.
All right. So that we were addressing that. That is, I can't remember. Tandler, do you remember who it was on Twitter that was saying that? Because I'd like to call that person out. They're a very good listener, and I like their avatar as a picture of a cat. Tandler, any?
Who likes cats?
No, the one that I got into.
I'm okay with cats.
Horny a little bit was Dawn.
Yeah, I think, it's
T-Dreamer
Dawn. T-Dreamer 7. That's exactly who we're talking about. All right, so
yes.
Also, Mitch, I like cats. I prefer dogs, but I think there's place in the world for cats.
That's good. I think you're wrong.
Taylor?
So do I.
You think
not
cat,
a cat fan.
You don't think there's a place in the world for a cat?
I'm not saying there's not a place, just not in not, the not in the household.
World.
Not in the household.
Not my world.
I like a cat.
People want to have them, great.
They belong in a zoo.
They belong in a zoo. Yeah, I tell you what, two people we all know well are on the record cat guys. Do you want to guess who they are?
Brian Mitchell?
No. Maybe. I can't confirm or deny, but I doubt it.
I don't know.
Chick.
Not Chick. No way. Maybe. I don't think Chick's an animal guy.
Who are the cat people?
Chase Hughes, our Wizards reporter, and Ben Standig, our a guy that wears 8 billion hats, including a couple for us. Both love cats.
Well, they both dropped a peg in my book.
All right. Tandler, you and I talked about this for a second over the weekend in Seattle, just about the toughness of the Skins' schedule early on. I wanted to read a tweet I saw from one of the guys that works for the Redskins and does, you know, content for the Redskins, Perry. I'm having trouble finding the tweet. Just specific.
I have it.
Okay, yeah, about how that. Am I right? To date, the Redskins have had the hardest schedule in the NFL?
Let's see. Now, this is Pro Football Reference. I you can go look it up if their strength of schedule. You can go look up how they calculate it on ProFootballReference.com. But their strength schedule has been 4.2. Let me scan. The next highest I see, 2.6, I think. The Chiefs.
Well, I mean, and
yeah,
you know, one of the Skins' losses is to the Chiefs too.
I mean,
right. I mean, look at the rest of the division. Eagles minus 2.0, Cowboys minus 1.0, Giants 2.8. So they're up there. So that is higher. That is a little bit tougher. But yeah, you know, so that is.
And I don't think you can pin 4-4 on that. I don't think you can pin being 500 at the halfway point on the strength of schedule. But they've.
Why can't you?
I mean, because you play to win the game, man. Not to be Herm Edwards, but you got to go out there and beat tough teams. That's part of life in the NFL. What I was going to say is they've been in every one of these games and they've had a chance to win. I'd argue maybe not the last Eagles game, but they've been right there. Certainly the Cowboys game at home, the Chiefs game on the road, they could have won those.
I mean, we kind of beat it to death, but this is something that Redskins teams in the past, other than the one 2012 team, the teams that made their run to the playoffs, didn't do. They played teams that were better than them, and they kind of went away.
Right. And here, we talked about this Sunday night in Seattle. The schedule sets up such that the Redskins have a real chance at making a run. Now, whether or not they do remains to be seen. But, Tandler, if you had to give me a percentage chance of them making the playoffs right now, what would you say?
I'd go at about 40-ish.
Wow. I think
that's a little on the low side.
You think that's on the low side? I was going to say that's on the high side.
I was going to say 50-50. I think that even worst-case scenario, you lose the next two, as you look at the rest of the NFC, which is, quite frankly, not very good, I think there's going to be an 8-8 playoff team, and I think that
I don't see that.
No,
dude, look,
there hasn't been an 8-8 wild card in.
The Eagles are going to win the division. The division is done. So you're looking at, all right, somebody's got to win the North. I don't think a wild card is coming out of the North.
Right,
but then you've got the Saints and the Panthers both have 6 wins. The Rams have 6 wins. The Seahawks have 5.
Okay,
so I mean that's 1, 2,
and the Cowboys.
3.
The Cowboys have
right. I mean, there's
5, right?
1, 2, 3. There's 3 teams with more wins ahead of the Redskins that aren't leading their division.
But they had their buys too. I feel like the Rams have, and not that they will.
I think
the
Rams are on bye this week.
But the Rams have had a pretty light schedule, I think, when you look at it. And
they're also, you know, that Rams team, man, when you look at point differential, which is a stat I look to, they're 108 clear on their point differential.
Wow.
And the Skins beat them out there.
I mean, putting up 51 last week will take a long way.
Getting to play the Niners twice helps, too. The Niners are 0-9 and minus 96.
Well, what do you think the rest of the NFC says about playing the Giants twice?
Right. That's true.
But you see the Panthers are up and down depending on how the wind blows for Cam. He plays well, they win. He doesn't play well, they get blown out.
Right.
I think there's one playoff team from the north and one playoff team from the south. And I think you get two from east, from both the east and the west.
Yeah, I mean, I think that math works. I certainly think that math works.
Yeah, it may come down to if Ezekiel Elliott ends up being suspended for those six games. So
I think it could certainly come
well
down to that.
Decide whether the Redskins make the playoffs.
Well, and that hearing is supposed to be Thursday afternoon, right?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, that will be remarkable.
But every time we think we've heard the last of it, there's one more. So it could be Thursday afternoon, but it could also be next Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
Right. I didn't give my number. I think – so you're saying 50% Mitchell.
50-50.
Tanner, you're going 40. I think just looking at everything, I got to be a third. I think 33, 35% somewhere in there.
I think it's funny that I'm the optimist of the group.
Tanner's usually the wet blanket. It's weird that I'm at the bottom, I guess.
Yeah, no.
All right.
You should just be grumpy the rest of the podcast.
I'm an upbeat guy. What can I say? Tanner, it is time for over-unders. You've done the math. Set us up, man.
Okay. We will, as usual, do Kirk Cousins' passing yards for the game. Okay. 21-47 for the year. Eight games, that's 268 per game. The Vikings are averaging...
Tanner, you just turned into a robot. Repeat whatever you just said.
Okay. What?
Just
from where?
We got you. 21-47 yards for 268 a game. After that, what do we got?
Okay. The Vikings give up an average of just a shade over 200 yards per game. The average is 227 per game, so they're 11% better than the rest of the league. That would put Cousins' estimated passing yards at 237.
All right, let's boost that a little. Let's call it. You got to pick to go over 250 or not. We set it at 249.5. What do you think?
Okay, I think that makes it a contest there.
We go over all the time anyway. There's no way we're not going over 230. You know what I mean?
Right.
All right. Now, our next one, because he had that big catch and because maybe we were finally going to see the Josh Doctson breakout, we decided to do Josh Doctson receiving yards in this game. Tanner, I think you have some numbers or no?
Well, no, because it's really hard to, you know, I mean, Cousins, obviously, he's been starting, throwing, playing every game. It's, you know, we have numbers on him. We have some history to work with. There's just not enough history to work with. He's got some games with zero yards.
Right.
And so it's just hard to figure out an average for him. It would be meaningless to come up with something that same way.
Okay. Well, let's try to look at – it's tough because even looking at the last couple Vikings games, they've played pretty bad. They played the Browns and the Ravens. And maybe the Ravens aren't that bad, but they don't have a very good receiver. The Browns are terrible. They played the Packers, I think, without Aaron Rodgers. So you've almost
got that was the game where Aaron Rodgers got hurt in the first half.
So you almost have to go all the way back to week four when they played the Lions to even get a comparable kind of number one receiver comp. And we'll just say Golden Tate for a conversation. Golden Tate in that game was held to 29 yards receiving.
I mean, the Vikings have one of the best DBs in all of football, Xavier Rhodes, who plays on the right side over there.
Right.
That's going to be if Doctson's up against them head-to-head for most of the day, that could be tough sledding.
So what do we think, RT? 45 yards? Is that too much? 39.5?
Let me buzz back here real quick. I'm trying to – okay, Mike Evans, who they played the week before, got 67 yards against them.
Yeah, but Josh Doctson
– Jackson,
yeah,
who's had not too good a year, had 84.
All right.
So that's just – I just throwing a couple more comps.
Deshaun Jackson wasn't matched up with Xavier Rhodes, if I had to guess. You know, I think
– probably not.
I think we see if he's going to go over 250. I think 49 is the number. Over 50.
I think 49 is a good number.
All right. We're setting it –
and a half.
49.5. Okay. And our third one, this was submitted from one of our listeners. I really liked this one. This is from Andrew Funkhauser on Twitter. I am Funk 21.
I am Funk.
I like that name too. That's a good one.
Yeah.
If your last name is Funkhauser, you got to own it.
It feels like a Curb reference. It should be a Curb reference.
All right. He says, In the Skins' last three games, they are combined 12-38 on third down. He wants to set a third down conversion over under at 5.5. Taylor, I know you have a bit of research on this, and then we'll move on.
Yeah, the Vikings are very good on third down. They're the second best team in the league on third down. I'm not at the number, but it's under 30% is what they give up. So
okay.
27-28% is where they are on the year. So the Redskins are going to have, it's a tough defense. It's one of the top five defenses in the league.
They've also played a lot of bad teams. So just pointing that out.
Yeah, that's true.
5.5 third down conversions. Taylor, you like that one?
I certainly like
the topic.
I can go with it.
All right, Mitch, what say you?
Good number.
All right.
Good number.
That's it, folks. Third down conversions, 5.5. Okay. So Cousins, 249.5. Doxson, 49.5. 5.5 third down conversions. Lock them in, folks. Tell us what you think. We are now, every week, we try to do three things about the city of the team the Redskins are playing. We're going to be honest. I don't know that much about Minnesota. Taylor knows less than me about Minnesota. Mitch claims he knows a lot about Minnesota.
I wouldn't say a lot, just in comparison to you guys.
All right. Well, I'm starting because I don't want anybody to take my two things. In my head, I was thinking about movies from Minnesota. And my favorite movie from Minnesota, and one of my favorite movies, I just love Prince. Purple Rain is just a great movie. I'll never forget like the shock and dismay I felt when Prince slapped Apollonia. That was a formative moment of my life. So Purple Rain is just a classic. When he plays Purple Rain at the end, here's a little known fact. When I used to bartend and I could pull it off and I could get to the DJ or I could impact what song was playing, I would always play Purple Rain at last call. Kind of calm people down. If a young couple had met, they would start slow dancing. It was a good prelude to wherever their night may end up. Purple Rain's a good last call song. So that's my one. My two, Mighty Ducks, man. One of the all-time great 90s movies. Anybody my age loves Mighty Ducks.
Ducks fly together.
Shut up, you cake eater. So those are my two. Taylor, do you want to go before Mitch, the Minnesota expert, goes?
Well, I haven't seen either one of those.
You haven't seen? Gosh, you are so lame sometimes.
That is, both of those are bad, but I guess Mighty Ducks was too young for you.
Yeah.
You got the easy one? Go ahead.
Okay, no, the only thing I will go with one. And I'll just go with Super Bowl 26.
All right, I'm glad you came up with that one.
The Redskins won in Minnesota.
I left that one for you.
It did happen to be the one of the only one of the Redskins' three Super Bowl wins that I did not see in person. But obviously, Mark Rippon, Gary Clark, Brad Edwards playing safety, Kurt Govea, linebacker with a key interception, just a dominant win that wasn't really quite as dominant on the scoreboard because the Bills came back and got a lot of garbage time later on.
Yeah, they let him. Gibbs was classy about it, let him come back. But that game changed my life, I think. Certainly, God bless the Hubert H. Humphrey Metrodome. Is that what they called it?
That's what it was.
Yep.
All right.
And thank God it's no longer there.
Yeah, I heard it. But didn't the ceiling collapse with all the snow?
The snow, it deflated. Yep. They had to repump it back up. Jeez. It was a whole thing.
All right, Mitchell, you're up.
And then the Redskins had to go play outside at Minnesota Gopher Stadium.
Did you play? Were you working that?
Oh,
how cold was that?
That was very cold. Redskins bus crashed before the game. RG3 was kind of bad. Alfred Morris. It was a whole show. But
here's what I'll say: if in my career I never have to go cover a winter game in Minnesota, I'll be cool with it.
I got to be honest. If you're going to do Minnesota or Lambeau or one of those stadiums, you want it to be quintessential. You know, you want it like Seattle.
I'd love to hit Lambeau in early September.
We were there a couple years ago in early September, and it was 65 degrees, been rainy. But if I'm at Lambeau or Minnesota or Seattle for that matter with the rain.
We got real Seattle weather.
I want it to be
sleeting and snowing.
Yeah.
I'm a wimp, dude. I don't like the cold. Set the scene.
AP soft? Wait, do we have any breaking news, music, or anything?
Taylor, you're the softest dude on this podcast. Give me a break. Although, my wife made fun of me. How cold is it today? It's Tuesday evening we're recording this.
Yeah, it was, I don't know,
I put Long Johns on for the first time this winter, and she's like, oh my God, you're an idiot.
Well, so, I felt like we brought the Seattle weather back across the country. So
We definitely did. Shout out to producer Joey Sabat, who just got bullied outside of the NBC Sports podcast room. Mitch, your three things on Minnesota, or however many you got.
I got a few. I don't know. Well, mostly geographical, I guess. Land of 10,000 Lakes, Twin Cities, Bob Dylan, Mouth of the Mississippi, deep fried everything in the Minnesota State Fair.
The only one of those that counts was Bob Dylan. That was a good call. The Mouth of the Mississippi is New Orleans. Tandler, don't cough into the microphone, dude.
Well, whatever. What's the start?
I tried not to.
Mississippi ends in New Orleans. What's the start of the river called?
Yeah, it's the origin.
It originates
the
in
the Mouth of the Mississippi is New Orleans.
It originates in Minnesota.
All right. I think Mitch only had, you went one of five there, I think.
You asked me to name things I knew about the state of Minnesota. That's what I did.
I guess, dude, that was pretty terrible.
No, who doesn't like ice hockey, pond hockey, lakes?
All right. Those things were more relevant.
Deep fishing?
Bob Dylan counts. The rest, you're out of your mind. Okay.
Minnesota State Fair is incredible.
Have you been?
Yeah.
Why?
Don't ask.
All right. Well, let's talk about our tailgate. The Redskins Talk tailgate is happening, man. We are, the wheels are moving on this thing. It's pretty remarkable. Can you give me a drum roll, Tischler? Well, hold on. So a couple confirmed guests. Rich Tandler, you're not even a guest, Tandler. You just kind of have to be there. So you're going to be there.
Yeah, I know.
You're going to be handing out hamburgers with me. Here's the deal. We're going to have 100 hamburgers. I am going to personally grill up 100 hamburgers. And if you're within the first 100 that show up, you get a hamburger. If you show up later and there's still burgers left, you can get one of those. But I think that's a good number, a nice round number of hamburgers to be made.
That is a great number. How many hot dogs?
I'm making 100 things. You think I should do like 50-50?
No.
Tandler has a very firm opinion. Shocker.
I think you do 100 burgers and 100 dogs.
All right, dude. At some point, we still have to work. So we're going to be juggling a lot. Here's the deal. We are going to be live streaming. The plan is the tailgate starts at 11 o'clock in the Orange A lot. And I'm going to get you a specific location later in the week. Orange A lot. We are going to be live streaming this thing on Facebook and on Twitter the whole time. It's going to be fun. Taylor's going to be there. Mitch is going to be there. Dan Steinberg of The Post is going to come by. Craig Hoffman from 106.7 is going to come by. And then I have a couple big guests. Mitch, yeah, hit him with the. All right, drum roll over. Fred Smoot is going to come by. And Santana Moss is going to be hanging out. So, folks, this is getting serious. You better be there. It is come one, come all. Everybody's welcome. We're going to be live streaming the first hour. We're going to be live on television the second hour. So this thing's going to be fun. I am hoping that people will make funny signs to hold up. Kind of like if there's any lawyers, don't listen to this part, but we're ripping.
And they're quiet.
Yeah. We're ripping that idea off from game day. They do it so well. We're hoping to just get a little bit of that funny atmosphere. No matter what, we just want to hang out, say hi, and enjoy. One of my favorite parts of Redskins Talk podcast is the engagement with the listeners. And, you know, when I meet folks, I met a bunch of folks on the airplane back from Seattle, and we go to the rallies, and just the interaction on social media is so damn cool that, you know, it was Mitch's idea that we throw a tailgate, and we were kind of kidding, and we're like, you know what the hell, let's throw a tailgate. And our bosses here at NBC Sports have been very cool, so we're going to try and throw a tailgate.
And we love that our bosses are listening, but in case you are listening, just pause it for 1 second. It's BYOB and BYO, your favorite podcaster, beer too. All right, bosses, turn it back on.
And if any lawyers listened, none of this ever happened. All right, so that is the information about the tailgate. We're going to have more information. I'm going to have it on my Facebook page. It'll be on NBC Sports Washington. We want to see you there. I don't know how more illicit, I don't know how much more I can explain that. Is there any way other to explain that, Mitch?
Be on TV, be on NBC Sports Washington's Facebook, Twitter, Instagram pages. We're going to get this thing going.
Podcast producer Pete Haley will be there, and he's going to be running our Instagram stories and our Snapchats, so you can be all over that stuff. If you entertain Pete, he's going to be taking pictures of you, so hopefully you don't think he's a weirdo.
And he's super easily entertained.
I was just about to say that. He's very easily entertained.
Right. Okay, that's enough about the tailgate. Hit me with questions if you have any. We're doing real
and
good.
Suggestions over, and any suggestions, suggestions for the tailgate, let us know.
And I'm going to try to bring cornhole, but if people have other games or want to bring a football
or rings or anything, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what those games are. Mitch just named, but
they're all good. Don't worry.
We're doing good on the reviews, folks. We are up over 70, and I think we got what, 2 weeks left till Thanksgiving, 3 weeks left till Thanksgiving. So we need them to keep coming, guys. We need a lot more reviews. We need a lot of them. We got to get to 100 by Thanksgiving to get Rich Tandler into the turkey costume that he has promised to wear.
5 million won't get me into the turkey costume, but go ahead.
Well,
carry on.
Right, but 100 will. So I want to read a good review we got. I really appreciate this one. And look, here's the thing with reviews. If you leave us a bad one, but it's funny, I'll read it. If you leave us a bad one and you're just being kind of a jerk, I'm not going to read that. But I'm not above self-deprecation. Or if you have legitimate criticism, I'm happy to read and hear that too. But don't just be like, oh, that guy's a jerk, because I'm not going to read that. Is that fair, Mitch?
To be fair, Tandler's kind of a jerk.
Tandler is kind of a jerk.
Tandler's not a jerk.
All right. I'm going to read this one.
You guys just bring out the worst in me. That's all.
That may be true because we see it. All right, I can't read the name on this one, who submitted this, but it's funny if you want to take the time and find out who submitted this. But it's the guy says, or the person says, great pod. These guys are great and do a really nice job of getting right to the analysis without a lot of fluff. Oh, and that Tischler guy sounds like a real dreamboat.
Get out of here. That's not a real review.
Somebody likes the local celeb. I'm letting Mitch look at my phone right now. It's a real review. It's on there. It came in Monday afternoon.
Well, you know how to get me.
And then one more.
Way, that guy or girl, you show up to the podcast, the tailgate, podcast tailgate, and I will guarantee that I will shoot the ever-living you-know-what out of you.
You got
with a camera.
Yeah, dude. Jeez.
With a camera. Hold on, man.
All right. Tandler, tell the people what to do.
Subscribe to the podcast. That's step A. That's pretty easy. But yeah, just invest a few minutes, leave a review. It's not going to get me into a turkey costume.
Yes, it is.
But it'll help us stay. It'll make our bosses happy and allow us to continue doing this fun, informative, straight to the point podcast.
The more reviews we get, the more cool stuff we get to do, like tailgates, and we're going to have a podcast party later this winter. So help us give you guys free stuff, whether that's food or beer or t-shirts or koozies.
Or fun nights out on the town.
Yeah, fun nights out on the town.
I mean, how many beers does JPO everybody by now?
The number's stockpiling. The
number's getting up there.
I will give everybody the beers as soon as Tandler's in the turkey costume.
I will make both of those things happen. You have my word.
I tell you what, I gave a bunch of people I met in Seattle were listeners, and I gave them beers. So that's a fact, Jack. Susie Q and Chris Bryant got beers from me. Mitch, anything you want to tell the folks?
Show up on Sunday. Let's have some fun. Let's make this thing fun. Yeah.
Let's have some fun. Let's make it big.
Let's also test JP's grill skills because he talks a big game.
I don't talk a big game. I can handle.
You talk a huge game.
I don't talk ever. I post to social media.
Yeah.
That's not talking.
That's bragging. That's bragging.
All right, everybody. Seriously, I want to see you Sunday. You get to meet Santana Moss. How cool is that?
Fred Smoot. Rich Tandler.
Maybe he won't cough into the mic for an hour. We'll find out. As always, everybody, if you made it this far, I owe you a beer.
I owe you a beer.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chantilly Kia. Let's ride together.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chantilly Toyota. Let's ride together.